Hey guys, welcome back to Unpopular. I have Brandy and Julie back on today, so I'm just going to get straight into things because it's a great episode. As always, I have new content on Patreon, patreon.com/unpopularjp. I just dropped a new episode where I talked about Bethany lying about getting punched for attention and my mother tearing down my hopes and dreams, you know, the usual kind of stuff. So yeah, I also talked about being a huge flop, so if you want to subscribe to the pod, if you want to leave me a 5-star review, if you want to, you know, post me in your Instagram stories and tag me and put a little hot link to the episode in there, please feel free. Otherwise, just keep being a hater. Anyway, I'm going to get into the episode. Thanks for listening, guys, and I'll see you all next time. Bye. You know what's funny is that at the Valley premiere, so I hung out with, not trying to brag, but I did hang out with you and Heather all night. And I told Heather the story of how I hated you. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I used to hate them. And she went, what? And I went, yeah. And I'm like, I was like, I skipped all of their episodes on your show and they reached out to me and asked me to come on their podcast. And I was like, you know, I hate you guys. And she was like, you didn't say that. And I'm like, yes, I did. And she went, I can't believe you were so honest to them. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't think they minded. And now I love them.
Thank you.
I think you didn't realize, I mean, in addition to us being annoying, I listened to your podcast and your Patreon. And you were the very first Patreon we ever like signed up for and paid for. And then since then, Heather has forced us to join hers. And then we'll like join because, you know, it's like we have to be able to read the comments and shit.
So did she find out that you were subscribed to me and then she forced you to subscribe to hers?
No, I don't think she knows we're subscribed to you. But she just needs us to like be able to... She constantly wants us to know things and we need to be able to like can't read the comments.
Sorry, I almost interrupted you. I thought I wasn't recording. I almost freaked the fuck out. Wait, am I? Okay, I am recording. Guys, I get so nervous. Yes, no, it is recording. I just get so nervous and I look so fat on this fucking camera. And I don't know if it's like the camera adding weight or is it real?
My face looks...
Does this whatever Zencaster have also a beauty filter?
No,
I was like trying to find it.
Yeah,
I feel like I look like Billie Jean King like now, like current Billie Jean King. So don't worry, Jacques, you look great.
Well,
okay. Here's the deal. Great. I felt like the night at the the Valley premiere that you said like on your podcast the next day, like, oh, I felt bad, and you even texted me. You got way in your head, like, I'm sorry. I just feel like I just spent the whole night with Heather. And I was like, one, we don't care. Like, Julie and I are so codependent. That's why people like to go out with us, because they can just blaze off and then we just sit and do whatever we want. But I definitely think it was a combination of you thinking that we were annoying because we can be insufferable. And also, I didn't think you realized that we used to be on TV here. Like, when you were like... I'm like, even that night at the Valley, I'm like, I don't think Jacques realizes we used to be on Bravo and we used to host the Vanderpump Rules after show.
I fully know.
Like,
I know
you never saw any of that.
No, but I know you were booked
and
busy.
But you didn't see any of that in Australia, right?
I saw the reel of you guys because I think one of you posted, I think, to coincide with the Valley premiere, and you guys are really fucking funny.
No, thanks, Jacques.
At least you didn't skip it like you used to skip us on Heather's.
I know. Hang on a sec. We have a fucking delay. Do you feel a delay from me?
No.
I don't think so.
It seems normal from our end.
It's not from my end, because when I speak to you, then I can kind of like hear myself back like in your thing. So there's like definitely a weird delay.
So what should we do?
No, I'm just going to jump out and like come back in and we'll just like pick up, like I'll edit it out. But
look, it's like when you're with your other friend, Dan. Remember how you guys constantly have to stop and then he goes and smokes?
Oh my God.
The podcast guy.
Yeah, I'm so mad at him. Let me jump out and come back in and then I'll tell you why I'm pissed off at Dan. All right, I'm back. We had some technical difficulties. I want to tell you why I hate Dan again. Well, there's two Dans. So you met Nice Dan at Heather's show backstage, right? Mexican Dan?
Yes.
Love Mexican Dan.
Yes, very kind. So we have Nice Dan and Mean Dan from New York. So the other day, I posted like a carousel of photos on Instagram of like my like fun time in LA. And I think I had a picture from like the Valley premiere. I had some of the food that I've been eating. And I had...
I just know where it's going.
And I had like some selfies, like me and Nice Mexican Dan, like we had gone out for dinner and like there was a cute photo of me like smiling at the dinner, just like loving my LA life. And then one of the pictures that I did was me in this jacket that says make money, not friends. And it's from this brand, 50 Carat. And they were like, it was popular years ago. So it was like a trendy jacket back in the day. So it's kind of like outdated to wear it, right? So I was wearing that jacket and Nice Dan took a photo of me from behind because like we went to check out this apartment that I couldn't afford. Remember I messaged you, Brandy, and I'm like, should I get this apartment that like I can't afford?
Yeah, I totally remember. Yeah.
So we were checking that apartment out, like even though I knew I was wasting the real estate guy's time, but I just wanted to see it and, you know. So I was looking at the view, by the way. I didn't like pose for this photo. Like it was actually just natural of me looking out. And then Nice Mexican Dan took a photo of me from behind in the jacket. And then, so there's another part to this story first before I get to what mean New York Dan did to me. So we had two purposes, me and Nice Dan, when we went out that day. One was to see the apartment. The second one was for me to get a new jacket because I could only bring like two suitcases of stuff here. So I only have two jackets. I have one from PE Nation, which is like really thick and like it's too hot to wear around LA. And then I have the Make Money Not Friends jacket, which is like a lot thinner and like it suits the LA weather, even though I know it's outdated. But that morning I said to Nice Dan, I'm like, you know, we have to go to the Grove, like I had to get a new jacket because I can't be wearing like this one out all the time, you know, like it's kind of out of date. Like it was fine in Australia because no one knows that, but I was like, here I don't want to be wearing it everywhere. So I post the photo on Instagram and like I put like a cute caption and everything, and like I thought the photo was nice, and everyone's going, we love like seeing you like live your best life. And then Dan from New York was like, oh, the late 2000s called, they want their jacket back. And then I saw two people liked it. So then I was like, okay, so now it's giving the image that I like came to LA and then I'm so fucking corny that I like don't know that this is like an old jacket, that I think it's like a new trend or something. And that then I like purposely posed for this photo, which I didn't. It was actually a natural, like candid shot that Nice Dan took for me because like he knows that I'm not good at like doing photos for social media. So he'll like try to get me, you know, get photos of me like unaware. And I was just like, no, fuck this. And I had to delete the post. So I just deleted the whole post because he just ruined it. And like that post.
Why not just delete his comment?
No, because then it's like, now I'm like, okay, so everyone thinks that I think that this is a new jacket. Like that I think this is like a new trend. Even though I literally was out that day to buy a new fucking jacket because I had said to Nice Dan, like, I can't be wearing this jacket everywhere. But I just thought it was like a cute shot for Instagram. And like the whole post was about me, like, you know, how I'm like loving LA and I'm like loving like this new chapter, and he completely shit all over it, ruined it. And what even made it worse was I woke up that morning. I woke up like too early because I'd gone to bed quite late because I was at Nice Dan's place and we watched that. We went out to dinner and then we watched Bedded on Blonde. And so I like was half asleep. And like I rolled over and like grabbed my phone, and you know, sometimes you check your phone and then the plan is to like roll back over and go back to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I fucking saw that comment and then I could not get back to sleep. I was so mad and like I was cranky because I hadn't slept enough. I deleted the post. And then I had the worst fucking day. Like, the whole day got ruined. I couldn't stop thinking about it. There was so much wind. Like, the wind was actually crazy. And, like, it fucking destroyed everything. And then I met Zach Peter in Culver City. And the weather was just, like, horrible because we'd been there the week before and the weather was, like, really beautiful. That's why I wanted to go back.
It was like Dan ruined your entire LA experience, which is what he wanted to do.
Yeah, 100%. And, like, I'm just, like, so sick of being torn down by him. And he used to do that to me all the time. And now he'd been, like, on a really... like a stint of like being really nice. So like I stopped being mean to him and I'm like, oh my God, like Dan's being so nice lately. And that just like took me like right back to mean Dan. So he's definitely like not in the good books with me right now.
And then it like even changed, it changed the weather and just changed your mood. It's crazy. I mean, that's what, you know, it's very on brand. I will say that's why you guys are funny together. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it does track that he would do that.
You said on your podcast,
you felt like he was very unhappy right now in New York. So anyone who's unhappy, you know what they do.
They tear down others that are living their best life.
That's right. And you, instead of being inspired by you like I am, because poor Dan is stuck in shitty ass New York with the shitty ass weather, I look out my window, I listen to your podcast and look out my window in California and I'm like this, that's right, this is the fucking best. And I'm like, I have a window in my bathroom and I'll be getting ready and I'm like, mm-hmm, my life is fabulous all because of everything you say. I just listen to your podcast and it's like listening to like our lifestyle porn.
Yeah.
Yeah, have you started
driving through mountains? I'm amazing.
Have you started to appreciate LA more now that you're seeing it through fresh eyes as I like, you know, praise the palm trees and stuff?
Yes, every single thing. You're just like, you're walking amongst like homeless in Venice and you're like, look at me. And you're like spinning and you're like, this is like giving this character. And I'm like, he's right. I mean, it's really making me so much more positive.
Yep.
Oh, I love it. Yep. Well, I feel like Brandy and I have connected because we're both kind of like bitter. Like we hate a lot of people. Uh-huh. And yeah. Julie is like, so now that I've met you both in person, Julie's definitely like the nicer. Like Julie actually in person, I was kind of shocked by how like kind Julie is. And she does radiate a warmth that you kind of, I don't know, I didn't expect. And then when I met you, I'm like, oh my God, she's like the nicest person ever.
Yeah, she's so sweet. People think she's like an angry dyke, I guess, just upon looking.
Which is also true. Which is also true. But I mean, I'm, you know, I listen. I have my moments, you know what I mean? I can rage out and all that stuff, but oh, nice. I'm glad that you felt like that.
I have a, I do have an issue with Julie actually that I've been waiting
great.
To.
Let's get into it. Now we can really do it. Okay.
Yes. So when you use Instagram, you post the same thing like twice in it, like you double post it in the stories and it's not just once. Like I've honestly seen you since I've started following you and you don't update on Instagram stories that much. But when right. you do, you're double, like you don't know how to use Instagram and it's like.
I don't. So I'm glad that's an issue for you. No, I don't. I do. I literally, when Brandy told me that you told her that I did that twice, I was like, what? And then I'm like.
And then didn't even want to go take it off.
And then so then she was like.
And then didn't know how to take it
and
off.
And then I was like, so what? So it's there twice. So enjoy it two times. I don't know what to tell you.
But they're never good either because it's always reposting of Heather.
Never good.
Who takes the dumbest videos, Heather. Like she's like, look at our meal at Craig's. I'm like, Heather, this is so boring. And then Julie posts the boringest video twice.
I'm the worst. I'm the worst. I don't utilize it at all. We have been like literally in the last year have been building up to try and use Instagram or whatever better, just like in terms of promotion for the podcast. But as far as like our personal lives, or I could speak for me since this is about my Instagram and I don't know how to use it. I don't care is the thing. So yes, I'll add to the story because Heather will send it and then it will ask you, do you want to add it to your story? And I'll be like, okay. So then I'll add it. But then I'm like, I don't think it went there. I don't know. So then I'll just do it again just to make sure. and then apparently it's there twice.
Don't you like check the store? Like, don't you go back to like watch them quickly? Well, you should.
I don't. Yes, I should. I should do a lot.
I tried to tell her after. I was like, just once you do it, just go see. And if it's there twice, take it down. And she's like, I don't know how to take it down after.
Well, now that you've danned me in my Instagram.
This is what Dan did. This is Dan's fault. I will no longer enjoy
my two-time double story.
You know what? This is Dan's
fault. That are really from Heather.
This is the trickle-down of toxicity, of homosexual toxicity. This is what it does.
I will. Now that you said it, now that I'm aware of it, I'm going to now be aware of it. Like the jacket. I'm going to be aware of it.
Okay. Well, now that I've been accused of doing a Dan, this isn't going to look good because I actually have a list of gripes. So that's
okay.
That was the first.
All right. Well,
one.
Let's check that one up. No. Well,
let me get this ready. So, Jacques, just so you know, and you're this is all only audio, but we have been doing this thing. Remember in the pandemic when that bitch was in the meeting and she turned herself to a potato?
Who did
Do you
that?
Remember? So it was a viral thing here. This woman was in a meeting when Zoom just got first invented or whatever in the pandemic, and she turned herself to a potato. And she was the boss of the meeting, and she couldn't turn herself back. Okay? And this was like 4 years ago. But I got obsessed with it like a couple weeks ago, and I was just like, oh yeah, remember that potato lady? And then I looked it up, and then I screenshotted it because I knew... My plan was like, I'm going to send this to Julie when she does something dumb. I'm just going to send her the potato. It's like, because, you know, you have sent, remember the little girl in the car who's like,
Yeah.
or the guy who's like the thinking guy, like all the best memes. So I'll just take those and then send them to Julie. So, but it has now transformed. So here's the potato, just so you can see, Jacques.
Okay, yuck.
That's her in the meeting, the lady. So basically it's like now... Every time I'm just, if it's like, oh, when somebody tells you you've posted your Instagram stories twice, it's just like, that's you. You know, like, it's potato. That's all we do. So
or just, when someone tells you your jacket is,
yeah. Oh, yeah. When
is
someone,
not on trend.
And basically, this was you that night. You were just laying there with that. You deleted. Some people are going to know this potato, but we're taking it to the streets. Like,
okay, well, that potato. Is put on the list. So I have received... And I will check mark that and make sure that I don't double Instagram. So we're all good on that.
That's good. I have more. And by the way, I did hear you talking about the potato on your Patreon. And I'm like, what's this potato thing? Like, I didn't get it. Now I get it.
Now you know.
Yeah.
So you guys need to do some new photo shoots together. Because when I put your name into Google Images, they're from like 15 years ago. So you just need some more newer photo shoots.
Well, this... Okay. That we have a black and white one that wasn't from 15 years ago. The one in the tub.
Well, you need
you know
more.
That one.
I think I've seen that, but you need more because all the other ones like fun where you're like in front of the TV and like, you know, doing things.
Oh, yeah.
Things.
That.
Now, what do you suggest we do as far as the photo shoot? What
we
would
don't
you like
need
to
his
see?
Suggestions.
Oh, okay.
Well, that is the last thing we need. Last one we did was in a bathtub and it was not 15 years ago, but you know, when you get older. You'll see that you don't want to do photo shoots either. You'd be like, you know what? That's fine. That one will work. There's two things I hate in this fucking town, and it's meetings and photo shoots. I had an audition today. I hate headshots. Julie and I despise photo
shoots. I'll never do headshots again. I will never do them again. Now, with her, we can do our photo.
Yeah.
We'll do our fun photo shoot or whatever. But I will never do another headshot. I'm never going to be... I'm a DA. I'm not doing any of it.
You're an asshole because you just went out and tried to do it. And you're like, I look like I have like a disorder in every photo.
Yes,
didn't
I
you
do.
Just go out and you're like, I'm going to go take cute pics. And you're like, what? I'm disgusting. Like, no, it's only depressing.
That's true. But you can face-tune them.
Can I face-tune off 40 pounds? Can I face-tune off? I mean, I do need to get a tan. I hope, that I'm sure is on the list too.
I have another one. Just on your website, it still says dumb gay politics instead of gay podcast.
Oh, that does need to change.
Yes. So that does need updating.
Okay.
Right, we will update that.
Another depressing thing, the website.
And just to make sure, on the website, the address on there, that's not like your home address, right?
Shut. Goes right to my home. I mean, right into my front door.
I love that you moved here. You've been here 2 weeks and you're giving us advice. Like, again, let me remind you, we were on TV shows. Okay?
Like, I just want to make sure you don't have your address up on your official website.
Can you imagine? Oh, wait, hold on. Someone's at the door. Hold on. Hold on. Please. A second.
Absolutely not.
Oh, yes. No, I do have some.
Go on.
I have some. I have some compliments.
Okay.
Great.
I just want to say, when I went to Heather's show, Julie, I thought you were amazing. I thought you were so fucking funny. So did
Dan. Thank you.
And I was like, oh, she's incredible. And did you hate Hannah Gadsby when she came out? She kind of had your look, and you're way funnier.
Thank you. I am definitely bitter about all of the bulldaggers that came after me and got specials. Yes, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I was doing it for a long time before anyone had the courage. And I'll even say, and I came after Leah Delaria. And
do you know who that
she
is?
She was really the first one. Leah Delaria is the first bull dyke woman with a short hair who said she was a lesbian, blah, blah, blah.
But Jacques,
she's the first.
So that you care, she was on Orange is the New Black.
Right.
Oh,
you
okay.
You have to give context.
Yeah. Right. And she was on the Arsenio Hall show. She was the first woman lesbian. She was the first lesbian person to be on television to come out. And I'm talking about dyke out onto the stage and be like, I'm a fucking dyke, and did it on the Arsenio Hall show. So everyone who's come after that, we're all just after her. And
but Julie does like to think she's second.
Yes, I do like to think I'm second.
Well, I think Julie's second, and you were amazing, and it was literally so funny, and I loved it.
Thank you.
What'd you think of Heather?
She was so fucking funny too. Like,
well, I want to ask you, because you said when you came backstage to say hi, you said, when Julie came out, you're like, oh, or even before you got there, like, I don't enjoy stand up, so I'm going to have to pretend I think this is funny. Was that going to be the same for her? Had you ever seen Heather's stand up?
No, never. And I was planning to fake it. So when we were in the car, I did say to Dan, I'm like, look, I haven't watched their stand up before. I'm like, so we don't know if it'll be funny. I said, Julie's pretty lib. Might be a lot of Trump jokes. So I'm like,
there were none.
There were none. And I'm like, so, you know, if it's not funny, let's just like fake laugh and like pretend it was amazing. And he's like, deal. And we got there. We're like, oh my God, this is like so fucking funny. Like both sets. Like I was dying, and I don't even usually like stand up. And Heather's was like way dirtier and edgier than I was expecting, which was cool. I loved it. Oh, and Dan made a comment. He said, wow, this like crowd's like hotter than I thought. He's like, I thought maybe it'd be like BravoCon crowd. And I'm like, no, this is like hot Republicans out on the town for this hot Republicans from the OC come to watch some stand-up comedy. You're not a BravoCon baby. So yes, it was I loved it. I told everyone, like, you gotta go check it out.
I think you'd be surprised how much we have in common, Jacques.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure.
I think you'd be surprised. And I've definitely gotten into a lot of trouble.
Well, no, I love you guys now, and I'm really glad that we're friends, and you are so nice in person. You're both very sweet.
Yeah, you're
very sweet
too.
And talented.
Yeah, why wasn't I sweet and warm at the thing?
You're sweet too.
I don't mind giving off like a cunty conceited vibe. I'm fine with that.
No, you're nice. And actually, Julie did tell me at the Valley premiere how much you love me. She went, I just want you to know that like Brandy's obsessed with you, and you've just really taken a hold of her. And I was like, wow, thank you. I love it.
It's true.
I like to laugh, and I really enjoy your podcast, and I didn't have anything besides Bethany, and now I have you. So I don't listen to Heather's podcast or anything, you know? So I was like, it was a nice, and we did listen to Jemé, but yeah, I mean, I want your listeners to know, because they don't know, because you always talk bad about your hair. One, I don't know if everybody understands what a low self-esteem you have, which is also part of why you're so charming. Even though you have the audacity to give us notes on our fucking headshots or whatever. Okay. But I want them to know that your hair is very silky, silky soft. Because I think you always talk about how it's frizzy, but it seems like it's naturally straight, and it's so soft. It's like silky. I don't think they know that.
Well,
no one would know. I was like touching it the night because it was coming out of the bun.
No, I use Olaplex. And here's another thing. So I had like two or three really good hair days in a row where I didn't have to do it in a man bun, and it was like sitting, like it actually looked fucking amazing. And one of the photos that I had in that gallery that I had to, in the carousel on Instagram that I had to delete because of Dan, had me with like my hair out and like looking good. So that's, you know, another thing that he took from me.
Fucking Dan.
I want to repost some of the pictures, but I'm just like, I don't know. I feel like the whole thing's tainted. I need to just, you know, I'm having trouble
Don't let him do that to you. You can post those pictures. You looked great.
You're you didn't even see it.
Good looking. No, I saw you in person. I saw you in person. You're very good looking. You're tall. You're slim.
Tall.
You are.
He feels fat, though, and that's what counts.
Listen, I get it. I understand.
I was slightly taller than Tom Sandoval. I think maybe the same Schwartz. By the way, can you guys confirm how good looking Schwartz in person? Is it just me? Me and Heather were like, he's gorgeous.
He's good looking.
I mean, he's definitely looks like shit this season. Yes. So, and there was going to be any improvement to that to you. I mean, we knew Tom Schwartz prior to hosting Vanderpump Rules After Show. We knew Jax, but the person that we really, really knew was Tom Schwartz. I had like worked with him before. So we've just known him for a long time. But I mean, I was like, God damn, he looks like he's been on a bender. Like he had just been through it, I guess, with Scandoval. And Katie was, you know, mentally, she was basically danning him, you know. Katie's been having a great time danning Tom.
Hashtag danning.
Yeah, danning. And then poor Tom was rocking around like the potato. But now, you know, he looked great that night. And you said on your podcast, like, you're wondering if he had a stylist, and that made me feel weird. I certainly don't want him to have a stylist. I wonder if that girlfriend of his is styling him.
Well, he had, like, this, like, a really nice, like, coat. Jacket or coat that I would never see him. Like, that's the thing, because he does look like he's fucking been through it on this season of Vanderpump Rules. I was like, oh my God, like, what has happened to him? And then when I saw him at the Valley premiere, I was like, what? Like, he was like fully styled and like the hair, like, he looked really good. And Heather,
that was a,
I did think that was like a thing of the night. Did you notice that a multiple men had that jacket on?
Like a long coat.
Oh, I'm not, Jack, maybe that's it. The new thing.
I think that because that was a press event, that they had a stylist, paid stylist for them.
Sense. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That styled them all.
Okay,
you know?
Well, yeah, everyone looked really good. The women looked good. I don't know if you remember, Brandy, you were pretty wasted, but everyone looked good.
I remember, yeah. I saw them before I got wasted. I felt confident with what I had on, even being wasted. I don't know about a glitter... a glitter floor length gown, but you know, I guess that's a choice, and it's one that they all made.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do think they thought the Valley premiere in Studio City was the Academy Awards.
Yeah, yeah, they did.
I mean, I looked at their pictures from the Emmys, because they went to the Emmys because Vanderpump was nominated. Same dresses. I was like, well, that's great.
Same dress.
I mean, like, okay, but. They all, I will say this, I mean, you seem to think they're all more attractive in person. When we watched the Valley and we waited a minute to watch, I think they're all like, they all look really pretty on the show. I mean, I was like, wow. And then they're all kind of like, I think they're all pretty good looking in general, except for the gay guy.
Yeah. I think that, by the way, his hair's real, apparently, because Heather asked him, she went up and said, do you have a toupee on? He said, no. He said, if I had a toupee, wouldn't my hair look better than this?
Like, okay. That's a good answer.
No, they are good looking, but in person, the Asian guy was so good looking. You know, the one we were sitting with, Jason?
Yeah.
Yes.
He was
the nicest too, wasn't he?
Yeah. They were both the nicest. And I actually think they're kind of like the funniest on the show. So I'm glad we sat with them, because I'm like, I'm glad they're the ones we got to know, because they actually seem like the smartest and the funniest as well.
Yeah. Did we see the beautiful? Now, I don't remember seeing the really beautiful. I don't remember thinking that.
Beauty queen?
Yeah, the Miss America. Because she, I think, is so beautiful. So I would have remembered that if I saw her in person.
No, but you met the other one, Michelle, that has also split with... Yes.
That is okay. I want to know who's broken up, because we didn't know if it was, who was the couple that's broken up?
It's Michelle and Jesse. Jesse's the douchey guy.
Do you think he's playing that up?
No, I think that's him. I like him, though. I'm like, yeah, bring it on.
I think it's him, and I think he's, I do, on one hand, I think it's kind of cheesy that he's, they've all just sort of collectively decided he's going to be the villain of, you know, the group. But at the same time, I kind of think, well, good. I mean, I like that they're just out of the gate, just like doing weird, inappropriate shit. And, you know, Jax is good at what he does. He knows how to,
right,
you know, create something out of nothing.
Yeah.
Jax has wasted no time just like stirring so much fucking shit. So first episode when he pulls Danny's pants down, I love Danny by the way, like he's annoying, but he's like a character, pulling Danny's pants down. And then in the second episode where he invites Kristen's ex-boyfriend to guys' night, who's this guy that's not even on the show, to meet with her new boyfriend because he's like, I just want them to clear the air so we can all be friends.
I mean, that was like
it's beyond
Machiavellian move for the show. And now that guy is horrific.
Which one?
I will say that. The ex-boyfriend.
Oh. Yeah, but I mean, sorry. Yes, he seems like a douche, but I mean, I don't know. I'm sure they were both. I like Kristen, but she's crazy and she ropes guys in with her amazing ability in the sack.
That
sounds right.
He also seems like an opportunistic social climbing piece of shit. So.
Period. Well, I mean, that's everyone that's cast on The Valley, I think.
Also true.
Is that
true?
And that's so are true. We.
Without the good exactly. looks, then without the good looks.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like him not here for that guy for a second.
The thing that she does, though, for sure, is she gets guys way beneath her league. Mm. So then she just goes from like, apparently she just goes from guy to guy, but they never seem like they're in her league at all. So that's always kind of just weird. Like, we're always like, why him? But okay.
And now her Kris Kringle boyfriend. He looks like Kris Kringle. He looks like actual Kris Kringle from the old claymation shows. The Year Without a Santa Claus. Anyone listening, if you don't look it up, the guy looks like Kris Kringle. Not ugly, just Kris Kringle.
I don't know what to make of him. I don't know. He seems cool, but I don't understand why he still lives in Colorado, but then they're trying to have a baby. But then he's come to the Valley for the duration of filming the first season of the show. Are they really trying to have a baby? I mean, I think she should go for it. I think if she wants a baby, you know, have him be a sperm donor. I'm like, go for it. Time's ticking.
Yeah. Or have an actual sperm donor.
Well, yes, that's true. Yeah, that would probably be smarter, actually.
Yeah.
Because then he can't take the baby back to like Colorado. Yeah.
I mean, I do think that she should probably have a baby. You know, she should do the thing that they do on the shows where they get married, have a baby, get divorced, or, you know, they go through all the journeys until they Kim Zolciak all the way to the end, and then you try to get spin off. And I think she should definitely do that. I think they're all trying, and because right now she's trying to fit into a group of people that are all being parents. And but then doing the canned lines of like the cities from your 20s. I'm 40 now. Right. I'm the Valley's where I belong. And she's like, is that good? Should I do a take two?
Right.
Okay, let me do it again. The concrete jungle and the city. That's for your 20s. I'm 40 now. The Valley's where I belong. Wait, I messed it up. I mean, it's like you could tell. It's like, geez, it's in the it's like in the season preview. And that kind of stuff is like, the show I do think is good, and I did not think I was going to like it, but I love babies. I don't think they feature their kids enough. I would love to like get to know like Jax's little boy, like Jax and Brittany, see Brittany being like a mom, like, come on, Cruz, like all that stuff would be so cute to me. And like get to know him, because he's a toddler now, so he has a personality. Mm-hmm. They don't feature the babies enough, but I guess maybe it's awkward filming with them, but...
Yeah, well, I was upset when they got rid of Jax from Vanderpump Rules, because that was right as he was having a baby. And I'm like, oh my God, we had to watch 10 years of him be a fuckboy. And now I want to see how does marriage and fatherhood change him? And they're like, bye. And I actually interviewed Brittany for Daily Mail the other day. I think it was yesterday. She was so nice. She was much nicer in the interview than she was when I met her at the Valley premiere. Not that she was rude, but I think she was just like, she must get so sick of when she goes out and every fucking gay guy comes up like, oh my God, Brittany. I mean, I just said hi, I'm Jacques, but it must be exhausting. And she was there with Jax too while they've split up. But she was so sweet in the interview. And I did ask her a couple of things about Jax. One, I said, has the Valley, is Jax coming back to TV on the Valley? Is that will like ruin your marriage? Because I was like, I think he's kind of like a fame addict and he might be okay when he's off television, but now you've put him back in that environment. And she's just said, Jax is Jax, whether there's cameras there or not. And she said this in other interviews too, so it's not like I have an exclusive, but she said that having the baby completely changed her view of Jax because she just said that, I guess she was basically implying like, I don't want my baby to grow up with like a dickhead father that's like, you know, stepping out and making me fight in front of my kid. So she put the kid first, and I think she wants Jax to, yeah, get his shit together, which I doubt he will.
Huh. I do want to say that night she was a little distant, and we know her. We have like a special thing with her because when we did Vanderpump Rules after show, that was her first year on the show. So we were all just kind of like, wow, aren't these people fucking insane or what, you know? But she was distant that night at the premiere, I thought, like just a little like guarded. And that's not like her because she's usually very, very warm. And maybe it was just, you know, that was, I guess, right after they announced their thing.
Yeah,
they're split up.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, and then she had to do press all night about it. She had to stand in front of that fucking photo wall with Page Six going, okay, so you and even when I interviewed her at Daily Mail, I said, I feel so bad for you having to announce your split, right? As you've got to do a press cycle. And she was like,
what'd she say?
She was like, I know. And I was like, sorry. And I only asked her, like, they pretty much said beforehand, they're like, you can ask about Jax, but just don't make the whole interview about it. So I asked, you know, two-ish questions about it, and then I moved on. I didn't want to put her through. And she'll be so fucking sick of it too. I mean, imagine how many interviews she's had to give answering the same, you know, question about her split with Jax. And I did ask them if they sort of went into, I didn't say financial ruin, but I was like, when you guys got dropped off like Vanderpump Rules, like how did that go? Like, and she was basically like, yeah, we lost a bunch of money, but she said, I became the breadwinner because I was still getting heaps of brand deals and I did Weight Watchers and was getting all stuff through Instagram, and Jax didn't really have any money coming in, and that put a strain on them as well. So I think it's been building up for a while.
He was doing, I guess, 30 cameos a day, according to the show. I mean, damn.
Yeah.
I wanted to know if the gay guy, what's his name?
Zach. I keep
just calling him the gay guy, but I mean, of course his name is Zach. So Zach, how would Heather ask him if he had to pay? I don't remember seeing him that night too. I thought you said he was always out there in the other room on like the red carpet thing.
He was on the media wall base on that. The step and repeat or whatever. He was on that all night. He did not leave that. And he was wearing this kind of shirt that was like half unbuttoned that showed off his stomach. It was a very flamboyant outfit. And he was living his best life. And I think Heather said she already knew him because he had been friends with, I don't know, Brittany or something for years. And I was like, look at that. You hang around long enough and you get on TV.
Yeah. I mean, are you sure you wouldn't? Really? I don't remember Heather. I mean, because the show, he's good friends with whatever.
He knows
Jason, Janet. He was lived with Janet in the apartment building.
Yeah.
I mean, but I know Lala's good gay friends were there.
Yes, like Logan Lala's, and the other one were there.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone was there. It was a who's who of the Vanderpump extended universe. Yeah. By the way, you know, Jax had been shopping that show around basically since he got fired from Vanderpump Rules, which is funny because I feel like he did a bunch of interviews, probably including on Heather's show in the interim, where it was a bit like, I have moved on from television. I am just a dad now. And it's so much better. And this whole time he's out like trying to get this fucking new show off the ground. Of course.
I wonder why Stassi didn't do it.
She's just over it. I think she's really just, she has actually grown as a person, I think. And I think she makes enough money off her podcast where she's like, I don't need to do this fucking shit, you know, and have fake fights with people about bullshit. Like, she actually matured, whereas on The Valley, like, you were making fun of Kristen before about, like, you know, this is where I need to be, The Valley. It's like, no, you're still living, like, the West Hollywood life. I don't think anything has, like, really changed since the last show. I need to ask you guys about Countess Luann, and everyone wants to know, you guys are besties with Jeff Lewis again. I've heard your Patreon. I know that you're not, but I want to ask you here. But guys, you should subscribe to their Patreon. It's actually really good now, because I love that wrong side of the takes. Before, I did sign up and there was some kind of singing thing, so I did have to tune out for that. But the wrong side of the takes, I love, and I'm listening to it all the time, and I loved you ripping on Gertie from Miami and some of your Patreons. But okay, so what happened at this Countess Luann show? So Heather, basically what happened, like, Heather was seated next to Jeff, and then it went viral, and then everyone said, are they friends again? And then I know she came out on her Patreon and she said that they're not. But then I also saw, like, a lot of the trolls being like, Heather's going to become best friends with Jeff again and then leave Julie and Brandy out in the cold. So are there any reconciliation talks? Like, what's the status?
With us or with Heather?
Well, I don't know. The whole gang. You're a trio now.
Well, basically, we knew we were going to Luann. Jeff was talking all week, lying out of his face, talking about how he just, the only person he missed is Heather. Out of all the 27 people he lost last year, the only one he misses is Heather. So we were just like, I mean, I couldn't hear him saying, dear Brandy and Julie, any clearer than that. I was like, he clearly wants us all to hear that. And so we're like, we knew we were going. He knew we were going to be at the show. And he bought tickets for his, you know, like, his staff or whatever, and ended up sitting. He ended up going to dinner with Heather Dubrow and Crystal from Bee Hills. And then he sat with them in the comped seats instead of sitting with his friends. So he was sitting next to, like, a row of empty seats that were Luann's comp. So that, I mean, he could have been waiting for, like, Teddy and Tamara to arrive, who never did. But either way, somebody was going to sit next to him in an empty seat. He didn't, like, barricade himself on the other side of Crystal. So, of course, in this one instance, Jock, I was the least drunk one. So,
and I was the most drunk one.
So we were walking down with, like, the usher showing us where the seats are. And she just led me right to Jeff, to which I was like, no. And we made eye contact. And I was like, ugh, gross. And then I split.
Wait. Were you, like, as you're walking and the usher's leading you down, are you feeling, like, anxiety? Are you feeling, like, rage? Like, what's going through your body and your mind?
Well, we'd already had eye contact with Patrick and Paul. So, and everyone ignored each other and just, like, blatant eye contact, just like, and so that was already like, ugh. And we saw, there were some other people.
We saw, like, yeah, we saw a few people.
Saw a few people.
And we were late. So,
yes.
So the lights were off. And I think, even though we, you know, we all were trying to keep it together, but I thought we maybe got a drink. But then we were walking down in the dark and everybody was looking because they were looking at Heather. So, we never thought we were going to be right next to him.
Never.
We were happy.
Million years.
I think once we got through that outside and got through seeing Patrick and Paul and, like, whoever else, we thought we were in the clear.
Yeah.
So I wasn't as nervous once we got through the lobby, because I was like, oh God, okay, the show started. We're done.
Yeah, you've done, like, the hard part. And it's like, all right, we came out unscathed.
Yeah because Julie and I were never going to stay for the after thing. Like, Heather was always going to stay. Heather knew that Jeff was going to approach her because he'd been saying he was going to all week. So, you know, so we knew we weren't going to speak to him no matter what. And he wasn't even going to try and approach us. And that's what he wanted to do, was make sure he had a big production about speaking to Heather and not us. And it was like, okay, Jeff, no one cares. So nobody wants to talk to you. So we went down and we're like, fuck yeah. And Julie and I are like, yeah, now we're going to drink and I'm going to get wasted again. And I don't have to worry about doing anything weird because we're never going to go to the after party and I don't have to stay sober for anything. And then we walk right up to Jeff and I'm like, no, no. And now we're sitting next to him the whole show. And it's just like, I mean, I went on the far seat. So it was Heather and then Julie. So Julie was even closer to him. And it's like, what?
Were you able to enjoy the show once you were seated? Or was it in the kind of your mind the whole time? Like, he's right there.
Both, I would say. Like, because I could hear his voice. So we were enjoying the show. I mean, the show is, okay, the show is Chef's Kiss. The show was fun. We had fun.
Yeah.
We had fun. But at the same time, I can hear him talking and just, you can see him in the corner of your eye. You know what I mean? Like, he was there. So he's like, so I had a gross feeling and then a good feeling and then a gross feeling and then a good feeling and then like, a, ugh, and then a, ew, and then a, you know, cause it wasn't gonna, we were having fun.
But Girl Code came on, right? We got, doing the thing like my ex-boyfriend's right there. Like, you know, like in high school, like cheerleader, like where you're like being so extra, grandstanding, singing every song, just obnoxious. And he seemed uncomfortable too. I thought, even though he was like, whatever, trying to chat it up with Heather. And then Heather would like turn to us and be like, whatever, and like make fun of him and shit. And so we still thought, I mean, at that point, I can't hear his voice. Julie's kind of grossed out, but I'm enjoying myself being, you know, a thirsty cheerleader. And then they turn the lights on. So that's even worse. They turn up the house lights and now they're going to play Fuck, Marry, Kill. And I'm like, why does this nightmare keep getting worse and worse? And so now only, because we know, I would look around when I'm, you know, trying to be like grandstanding and singing, and I would see like people fully turned around in the seats just looking at us. Like just in the area. So I would see people and I'd be like, man, everyone's staring at us like the whole show. But then when they turned the house lights on and we're going to play this Fuck, Marry, Kill, Luann's going to play it with the audience, now they put a camera on us and we are on the big screen at the front of the stage. So the whole place can now see that it's Jeff next to Heather and then us two. And I was like, well, now everyone here knows. And now the lights are on. And now Crystal is going to play Fuck, Marry, Kill. So now the camera people are right here. The host guy's right here. Luann's looking. Everyone's looking. And we're on the screen. And, you know, I really wanted to play it. And I said this on the Patreon, but I didn't do it because, I mean, I wasn't sober enough to do it, but, and also Crystal had just played, but I really wanted to do it and stand up and say, not even play with Luann and just say, I would fuck Heather, marry Julie and kill Jeff. And then to sit down and it would have been,
when they would have asked you other people, which is why it would have been so good. It would have been like, okay, Brandy.
I'm supposed to ask, the audience asked Luann.
Oh.
And then Luann plays, but I wouldn't have asked her. I just would have said mine.
Oh, I see.
And sat down. Or I could ask her and then do it. But I didn't have it together enough mentally. But that was when it took a turn there because then everybody in that whole place knew. And even at that point, I think even Heather, and it's pretty hard to make Heather uncomfortable. I think even Heather at that point was like, well, I kind of wish we weren't sitting with him. And then he left at intermission and went to sit with his friends.
Okay. So the awkwardness like drove him away at that point, I guess.
Yeah.
Because I think, it got awkward and then Heather stopped engaging with him, just was hanging with us.
And what is it about Jeff? Because, you know, I don't listen to his show. Like, I look at the YouTube clips and stuff, but I was thinking about it. Because now, you know, obviously I listen to Heather, I listen to you guys, and I was thinking about back when he fell out with Jenny Poulos and when I think she did Heather's show back at the time and talked about it, and she looked really heartbroken. What is it about Jeff in the way that when he falls out with people, I think especially women in particular, he seems to, it's like it cuts deeper than a normal falling out that you would have with, you know, a friend or like a celebrity acquaintance or something. What is it about him that like cuts people so deep?
I mean, I think with Jenny, I mean, Jenny Poulos had a 10 plus year relationship with him. And the thing with him is that, at least like with us, he gets, we felt close with him. He pretended to be close to us. We hung out a lot. When we would see him, he'd be like, I love you so much. And we would do this like jokey thing where he'd hug and he'd be like, I love you so much. And then we'd be like, I love you so much. And we would, there was a comfort, a closeness, and like this little like fun thing where you felt like this was your real fucking friend. And so then when that person turns so cruelly, so.
And we were close with him for 3 years. So it's like very close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then, and then it's like, and like over nothing and over something that, you know, if you come with, to me with your checklist, Jacques, and you go, I need you, I heard my gripes, and we do it. We just literally had a normal conversation when we went, check, check, check. Okay, cool, we're cool. There's no being cool. And then it just spirals out of control, but he's his own snowball and it fucking hurts. It like...
And he's, when he's... in, you know, the lower part of whatever mood disorder he clearly has, or personality disorder, because he does have one. Not to diagnose, I'm not a doctor, but I don't know, it's a shot in the dark here. He starts being very cruel.
Oh.
And there's no way to get him back. There's no way to get him to stop spinning in the mania. There's no way. And the only thing that would get him to stop spinning in the mania is time. So like someone like that, when he has like a lover or something, and even if we were friends and we didn't have the after show, we may have had the luxury of time. But because his spinning out and his mania, and it was not because of us, it was because of him. And it resulted in us being then fired. He then, in within still his mania, he took that cruel, cruel behavior and he took it onto the air. And that's exactly what he did with Jenny. And what, you know, and like he's done to Stuart a million times. And but Stuart forgives him, because then Stuart has the Jeff comes back around. But one, we weren't going to forgive him because it was absolute lies and it was humiliating. And it made it look as if we can't keep a job. We've never kept a job despite the two TV shows. I hope I can fit that in 7 more times on this show today. And a million jobs. We've had writing jobs. We worked on Fashion Police. I mean, we've had a million jobs. We have. And that was a complete and utter like bananas anomaly. And it, and he went and he lied, and then he was so cruel about it, and then he thought that he was going to get to like take time, and then we'd be back and friends. Like, you guys are still chumps and all this bullshit, and it was like, no, we hate you now, we hate you now, and we won't be like Jenny Poulos, and you know, and
but she never came back either, and that's
finally after a million times,
right. That is true. There's no going to be a multiple times for us. But she then finally learned her lesson and had to move on. It's like it's toxic. It's toxic. I'll say that. So we don't, I'm not going to call him abusive. Yeah. But it's if you, you know, and we all can maintain or deal with a toxic situation for only so long, and then you can't, you just can't. I mean, it's not to be believed. It is just not to be believed. It isn't.
No.
And he does do that with women, Jacques, and he does do it mostly with women. And I do think he has a problem with women. And I will say that I do think part of his disorder or whatever his mental problem is, I do think that there's a very deep-rooted hatred of women.
Yeah, I had a falling out in Australia, so I kind of relate to what you're saying. We were friends for like a really long time, although she was just really hard work. She worked in the same industry, and we would just talk about work all the time, which isn't healthy because we didn't seem to have anything else in common. So we really only talked about the media industry and stuff. And she would always think that people were trying to like steal her like contacts or her like when you would do nothing, like she would invent these crazy things in her head, and it was so exhausting, and she would fall out with everyone in the industry. And I like honestly for like years I like would bend over backwards every time she had some psycho freak out, and you know, she would exhaust me and I would eventually get, you know, the mildest of apologies from her, which I would accept. And then she would, you know, she burned through everyone in the Australian industry pretty much. And they would tell me horror stories and I'd be like, no, you don't know the other side of her. And I would like defend her and stuff. And then her craziness, it just continued happening and like the gaslighting and everything. And then eventually it got so bad that, you know, I'd wanted to cut her off for a long time because I just was like, I can't, like, this is just insane. Like, I can't deal with this anymore. You know, I can't wake up with her going, you know, you were talking to this person, you're trying to steal my thing or whatever. And you're like, what? Like, this never happened. And then I was always paranoid because she was kind of crazy. Like, because we had been friends. I'm like, oh my God, is she going to leak text messages that I've sent her, you know, and like try to get me in trouble? So I had that fear. And then one day I just blocked everything, like phone number, every social media. Like I just was so done with it. And, you know, it brought like a lot more peace cutting her off. But then I still would get triggered by her for like quite a while after. And then I had a...
How did you get triggered if you blocked her? Just
she's because it's
her?
A small industry. So you would hear like, and she ended up doing a podcast that was, became really popular. So she was around the Australia, yeah, which I helped her get off the ground, by the way, and whatever, that's a whole other story, but got no thank yous for that. Yeah, she had me. Okay, so it's so funny. She was like on the floor. She couldn't, like, she tried to do the podcast. It was like a disaster, the rough edit that she did. And then I came over, helped her with it. I came up with like the name of the show and all of this stuff. And then it came out and it did really well. And it wasn't all because of me. Like she did have she had a really good concept for it. And she basically, which no one in Australia was doing, she took like a supermarket tabloids and put it in podcast form, which in Australia nobody was doing. And it took off and she had all this gossip because she basically got ran out of every single magazine and media outlet in Australia. So she had to do a podcast, ended up doing really well. But she was always like, oh my God, when, you know, if you do a podcast, like I'm going to have you on mine and, you know, like promote you and stuff. And I was like, wow, that's great. And then, you know, she had a podcast that was doing really well. And I'm thinking, oh, is she like ever going to have me on? And then she had me on once because she got a sponsorship deal that was worth, I can't remember, but it was maybe like $1,500 or something. Like it was a fair bit of money to do like an ad read. And she had to talk about, it was when the Housewives of Salt Lake City first premiered. So she just had to like talk about it on the pod to like promote it. And she'd never watched any Bravo show or anything. So she's like, hey, can you come on the show and, you know, talk about the Housewives? Cause you know, I've got this deal or whatever. So she only had me on so she could get, obviously I didn't get any money for it or anything. And then for like the next year, if anything happened, she'd be like, I bent over backwards to promote you and to like, it was like that was the kind of shit that I was dealing with all the time. And it's, yeah. But it was a small industry. So I would hear things about her. And then we had a mutual friend kind of, and then he would come to me and he'd be like, oh, you know, I think you guys just don't get along because you're so similar. And send me into a rage. And it really was because there was so much gaslighting and stuff from her and being accused of things that I didn't do and having to talk her off the ledge of like things she had made up in her head and trying to be a friend. Like it was just a lot. And so I know what you mean with, I can understand why you're still, because the thing with Jeff didn't even happen that long ago. Like it almost like feels like longer because so much like drama happens in like, you know, podcasting and stuff, but like it was not that long ago. So no. I get
it. Plus he talks about it. So it's like being dragged publicly. He has a big audience. Then you get the trolls that come. Now we got all the comments that go with it. And it's like,
then if we hang out with people from that time, like our friends,
right?
He then basically told them that anybody who's still friends with us won't be on the show.
He went and said, here are the facts, and he didn't have any facts. And it's just like, it's, and then continue to double down on it for weeks. And then the audience thinks that they know what's going on and it's saying shit to us on our platform or on Instagram or whatever. They erased every single one of our posts on the Instagram. They erased our existence off of the channel. Like, beyond Jeff and his shitbag, you know, lying about us everyone involved with it also then fell in line, and it was demoralizing, and coming back from being demoralized, I think, is really, really, it's a trauma, so it's hard. You know what I mean? It's like when you get mugged, it's not, you're violated, and it's just hard to come back from.
Yeah, and it is hard when you have kind of the audience slash the trolls weighing in, because there's just so many times you see these comments and people will be like, oh, I think this person's not talking to that one because of whatever. And you'll know the real story and you'll be like, this like never happened. And you'll see the comment on Reddit or whatever.
Right.
And it has like 200 upvotes and everyone going, yeah. And it's like, you guys mm-hmm. are like living in a fantasy world. Like, this is so far removed yeah. from reality.
Like, that's how the potato came, because because some person put some post on Reddit about Jeff going down to Rick and Kelly's in wherever, the OC or the pickleball, whatever. Oh, yeah. uh-huh. And, or maybe it was the OC. And just some story about Jeff and some guy he's seeing. And then Jeff got all crazy about it on his show and was like, I'm going to hire Lisa Barlow's guy to find it. And everyone on Reddit just decides that it's me and Julie. And I'm like, good, go hire Lisa Barlow's guy, you dumb fucking moron. And then I was putting the potato up because I was like, oh, does Jeff think it's me that put a post about him on Reddit? What am I going to do? What if Jeff finds out I can't stand him? I don't care if you think it's me. I don't care if everyone. But the thing is, even more frustrating than that is just people, they don't even say, I think, because at least those people are like, I think it's Brandy and Julie. I think it's disgruntled employees, blah. But it's other people just coming in going, you did it to yourself.
Yeah.
It's like, don't tell me what we did.
If you had just apologized.
Oh, yeah.
That's my favorite one. It's like, are you, if we could show you the amount, and I'm sure it's still on the phones, of how many times we had to apologize for nothing in order to placate a fucking crazy person. Like, it's...
That's what I felt like I did with that friend that I had. I would like literally was like twisting myself into a fucking like a Rubik's cube, trying to, you know, and try to see the good in them and, you know, talk them off the ledge and everything. And I did it so many times that then once I had cut the friendship, it was almost like then it hit me. It was just like, it was, you know, I don't want to say it was PTSD, like Dorit, I was in the throes of PTSD, but it, you know, it was a lot.
No,
like,
it is though.
It is though. It is, though. It might not be a physical violence PTSD, you know, it's silence is violence, but it's not, it's...
You get traumatized.
I don't know, you're violated. And so you don't have to be physically violated to feel violated.
And I do want to say, though, like, just before we change the subject, that we were lucky in so many ways, because... The firing was like publicity. We could have be still there doing it and would not have the amount of like patrons, you know.
True.
There's just nothing we could have done to ever get that kind of come up. And there's no amount we couldn't have paid enough money to get it. So that one way that we were lucky. But you know, people will send us like emails through our website, because our website has a, you know, our outdated website, Jacques, from when we were on two TV shows.
Yes, with your address on the front page.
Yeah. Right, with our home address and our old photos. We have there's something else we need to update. We have a form where pieces of shits can go on there and send us messages without ever having to give their real email. So Julie wants to remove that.
Yeah, I definitely want to take that off.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, that needs to go, because there's a troll on there that
troll
will not stop.
And every it's like, time it's like, oh, you're so sad and worn out. You only get to do Heather's show. And you're so, and I'm like, they literally have no idea like how good that was for us. But anyway, the most important thing, even more than that, because we would never have chosen to go through that, not for any amount of money or publicity or anything, was that we would have, if we were just on the show as we had been before, like every other week, we definitely would have cycled back. If we had had a falling out with him, we would have just kept going back the way you did and the way everybody else does with him. Because there's no way we wouldn't have just kept going back and back and back, because he sucks you back in. It's just, you know, I mean, when he decides he wants you back, he sucks you back in. I mean, you know, so I know we would never have gotten away.
Right.
If it wasn't so horrific.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you need to remove that form from the website. I've had the one singular troll that is like obsessed with you. And I've been open because I've said it a million times, but sometimes I'll read the reviews, like, but it's like very rarely, because I used to check my reviews like all the time and things like that. And then when I sort of like turned off the replies on my Instagram, like I only checked the reviews like very occasionally. It was just like a lot better for my mental health, because it was like freaking me out that I didn't understand why I had one person that hates me so much, but like keeps listening. And that's like, when I look at that Heather hate page, I can't even, you know, I was obsessed with it for a few weeks and then I had to stop looking at it as well. Like occasionally I do dip back in there because the curiosity gets the best of me. Cause it's just hard for me to understand if you hate someone that much, but then you're like listening to everything that they do and like recapping it and like talking about it. And I was even saying to myself, I was doing some self-reflection. I'm like, you know, am I being a hypocrite? I was like, do I do this? Because I'll rip people on my show and stuff like that. And I'm, you know, critical and like outspoken or whatever. I'm like, am I kind of like those trolls, but I just have a podcast? But I was like, no, I don't think so. Because like, I think at least, you know, my show, like I have different people on. We talk about different kinds of things. And then, yeah, sometimes I'll like pop off on a subject or whatever. Whereas those places are fully dedicated to just hate. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a variety of topics and then you might pop off about something. It's like it's dedicated to and hating like one person. And it's not just Heather that has it. Like, there's other influencers, especially it seems to really in the influencer / like podcaster space, I guess, because people develop these kind of parasocial relationships with them because it's intimate. The level of hate on them. Like, I even saw in Australia, this influencer came out the other day and, you know, she went on her Instagram and she was like, you know, I'm going out now and I have people that are, you know, taking my photo in the supermarket or taking a photo of my house so they can like post it in these like groups and stuff and then talk about how much they hate me. It's like creepy.
It's so it's bizarre. I don't know. It is bizarre because it's one thing. You have a show where you're expressing opinions. And you know what? Listen, we can go off and be like, this motherfucker's ugly. I don't like them. But I would never go directly to someone, because going on those hate pages are like you want to go to them directly and be like, Heather, I don't like your, like you're, it's like a weird, I don't know. Yeah. I'm not articulating myself
They post on there. They go, hi, Heather. I know you're reading this, which is like crazy.
It's crazy. Like, why would you want to go to someone? It's like confronting someone just because you don't like them and they never did anything to you and you never met them.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not just critiquing something that I listen to. And
also when sometimes we do, like say for the Valley, I'm like, even now while you guys are discussing this, all I'm thinking about is, God, I hope no one from the Valley. I hope that gay guy doesn't find out I said that fucking gay guy or whatever. Like, normally we talk shit if it ever gets back to someone, we're just like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, we don't ever think they're going to really hear or we wouldn't say it.
That's the same as me, by the way. I think that too. I'm like, oh my God, I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, like I'm trying to talk shit behind someone's back. I don't want to talk to their face. I did, I wouldn't talk shit.
I mean, unless it was someone that did something egregious, and I'm not talking about Tom Say, I'm not even talking about cheating or anything. I mean, if we,
like
you
Jeff.
Know what I mean? Yeah, like Jeff, I wouldn't have a problem being like, you're a fucking asshole. Like, there's, you know what I mean? Which would not feel good.
Yeah.
But, you know what I mean?
But Heather like, didn't do anything to those people.
Yeah.
If nothing. It's so bizarre.
She doesn't even talk about anything that's, it's at least with us, when we talk about political stuff, it incites.
Yeah.
It incites a reaction, or it's just like a thing where it's like, I don't fucking agree with you. And that will drive people insane. God forbid you agree or disagree with someone. So now we're dealing with Heather, let's say specifically, who doesn't talk about anything divisive or fiery or edgy really in her podcast.
No, but that's way more positive than us.
Way more.
We're negative.
That's the
bitter
thing though with these haters. It's like, some of the people that are out there with more inflammatory opinions, they don't get the hate. It's the people that are a little more like safer and they nitpick the smallest things, like she mispronounced this word again. And it's,
right.
It's like, how is this like upsetting you? Or why does she right. keep talking about this show that I don't care about? It's like, well, I don't know. You can listen to a different podcast. Like,
right.
It's crazy.
Yes. It's crazy.
The only thing that gets me through even, because I had to just, because I was like looking at the Jeff one and I had to just stop altogether, because if I don't look particularly at anything related to Jeff, he won't exist to us, because other than right. bugging on, ruining our night with Luann or infiltrating our night, because no one is on Sirius. The only Sirius anybody has is a free membership. And then when they don't have it, they quit. Then they call back Sirius. And then Sirius is like, we'll give you 3 years for $3 and whatever. Nobody's on there. If they're listening to him, they're listening to the free podcast that he releases. But so I'm like, I could also just tell it was, I'm like, I'm already negative. I could tell it was making me, in addition to just knowing anything about Jeff, it was giving me, it's just not good. And knowing it's there is kind of just makes me feel bad about reality and society. But the one thing that made me feel a little bit okay was that I heard that the worst one on there is Meghan Markle's.
Oh, okay. Ooh.
So that just made me go like, all right, well, they're doing it to everybody and not just...
Right.
Because like Heather's is... I don't think I could see that kind of stuff about myself and not, I mean,
I
she definitely was traumatized and forever changed by having seen that kind of stuff about herself. I mean, it's not something that anybody should ever have to see. That's the kind of thing that people do when they're trying to get someone to kill themselves, in my opinion, you know, like when a less strong person and would be bullied so much that they would take their own life.
That's bullying. That's yeah. what it is. It's just pages of people bullying.
Yeah, no, I feel that because when I've looked up. At that stuff and there's other, like I know that Amanda Hirsch from Not Skinny, Not Fat, she has one and it is, it's like trying to bully someone to the point of suicide. And if I even, that's why I said that I turned off my comments and I stopped, because even if I get one, like I'm like very sensitive. So I can't even take one. Like I'll fly off the handle. Like Dan ruined my whole day.
That's right. Yeah. And the next day.
Yeah.
That's right.
And he ruined the weather here for all of us.
Many days after. I mean, still talking about it. So, by the way, okay,
for real.
Someone hanging on to bitterness, what's your take on Ariana? Because now the tide's turning on Ariana with her being so angry at Tom Sandoval. Now people are not, and now I'm actually liking her because I'm like, fuck off. Like, he did cheat on her. Like, what? She can't be angry.
You always go against.
Yeah.
You're like, always, right? Like, the naysayer. I mean, I could say I predicted this. Everybody who's been in this industry knew, but it was like, we started to get the rumblings when her and Katie, you know, made $500 million on the t-shirts for the sandwich shop to never be. Okay. And I mean, and I consider definitely, I mean, I don't like, this is why talking about Vanderpump and even the Valley is the worst, because I do consider them friends, and we have gotten that, like at Heather's show, we didn't get to tell the rest of the story at Heather's show, but we went on some podcast and just made fun of Tom. And then we said they had a meeting with Lisa Vanderpump.
This was a while ago.
And then we had to apologize to Tom. Like, it got back to us that he was mad. We had to apologize to him one night, like a bar. And he was standing up. We were sitting down. We're like, we're sorry, Tom. And he was holding a lightsaber. And I was like, when we left, I was like, I can't believe we just had to do this 30-minute apology to Tom while he's swinging a lightsaber around. But I mean, it did teach us sort of a lesson about that. But anyway, I do consider like Katie a friend, but whatever, regardless, you had a sandwich shop that you don't have and you made the money on the t-shirts. And then people started being like, huh, like, okay, so you're sort of, you know, everybody was monetizing it, but then they did. And then she's getting cast on all these things. And I just knew, I was like, you know, there's just no way that's not going to turn, because that's what they do. They in any situation, they lift you all the way up just to take you all the way back down, you know, and you just have to wait around long enough.
Yeah, I mean, her getting the Love Island hosting gig, I was okay. I'm like, come on, guys, like we're giving her the magazine covers and she's done Dancing with the Stars in Chicago. Now she's hosting a dating show that honestly Sheena or Lala, I think, are better suited to. I do think they're a better fit for that. And I do think Sheena's a better fit for Dancing with the Stars. And she was hustling.
Even Chicago, quite frankly. Although Ariana was always an actress, and she is a good actress, and she had always maintained that she was an actress. But I think it's interesting, too, that of all of the people that ever on the show, including Katie, she had the least successful podcast, Ariana, and she had several iterations of podcasts, but now she's the one getting the hosting thing. I just find that
it's going to be everyone else's, bitterness, and that's going to come shining through. It's inevitable. It just happens. I mean,
I just feel bad for on the show, because she's coming off really angry at people being friends with Sandoval and everything. And I'm like, she's allowed to be fucking angry about it. Like, he did, and even though she's got all the success and all this amazing stuff from it, and I'm sure she's grateful for it, but she's probably also like, well, I do deserve this, girl, trust me. That happened to me overnight. I'd be like, I do fucking deserve to be on Dancing with the Stars. I've been through it, I work my ass off and, fucking podcasting and doing all this other shit. And,
Yes.
I don't know.
And she does deserve to be angry for sure. The problem is that they're on a show. So, and I, there's everyone's, everything that happened on that show has done nothing but make the show go on. That show is going to get canned. I mean, you could even argue the show is on its way out. What happened with the Scandoval has kept the show on another probably 5 years. So, yes, that's terrible in life, in reality. All of that's trauma and blah, 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 blah. But then you also have your show. So now you have your show, and your show is moving forward because all of that stuff that happened. So you have every right to be mad, but also we're all on a show. So it's a fucked up, tough place to be, because everybody's going to now we're watching all the people on our show get stuff that I'm not getting.
Well,
you know what I mean? It's like that push and pull is going to be inevitable, especially on a show. There's no way around it. So she's going to be angry because she has every right to be, because we all would be, but we're also on a show and those people are going to start to get mad.
Well,
so and ironically, the person who should be the most irritated is fucking Katie, because she should be like, you're shoving Raquel down my fucking throat and you didn't care when I was upset about Raquel with shorts. And, and I'm sure they all remember that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's a lot of hypocrisy on that show.
Shout out to Lala, because she's so impressed me this season just with her ability to understand how to do reality TV, because, she knew she milked the fuck out of Scandoval. I mean, she was just ruthless at that reunion. And I thought too ruthless, and I felt bad for Raquel. And I'm like, this is horrible. And then even though they're still when they filmed this, they were still in Scandoval, she was able to see ahead and be like, by the time this airs, people are going to be over this.
Right.
And someone needs to be the one that's building the bridge. And someone needs to be the one that's calling out Ariana and making this fucking spicy. And she's just she's just going to work. She doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, she's a pro. This is masterful reality stuff we're seeing from Lala, I think.
Yeah, she's really, really intelligent, doesn't drink, and definitely has her eye on the prize and giving it to the people. I mean, we're not watching, we love Lala, but I'm personally, but we're not watching this season. Julie probably wouldn't have anyway, but I refuse to watch it without Raquel. I'm like, that's just another bitter thing that I always talk about.
Oh, yeah.
But I just thought that was so classless and tacky of Bravo. And obviously the cast wasn't going to be able to at that point, when it was so raw, to get behind and do a favored nations for Raquel, even though that would have been the best thing for this season. But to rip her life apart like that and then not pay her the same as them to come back, and at least for all of us, for allow her to get closure, to mend relationships with everyone the way Tom is, I just think that's so fucked up. And so I'm like, I'm not watching. I'm just not going to watch it. I mean, not that they care, but I'm like, I'm just not. I wanted to support her. And I've been supporting Tom since... and her, quite frankly. I mean, I went on Heather's show and said, I wanted them to stay together. And I was kinda, rooting for their love. Yeah, just basically me and you, the naysayers of the group.
Yep.
And then I felt, obviously, people, a lot of people probably really did feel terrible for Tom. I mean, and they both brought it on themselves by faking so many scenes and faking so much about the relationship, never letting their real relationship out. And so it was bound to happen. But I mean, Tom and Raquel had to go through that thing where people are bullying you and trying to get you to take your own life. I mean, that's what was happening.
Yep.
And it was too bad that Raquel never got the chance to be redeemed, you know?
I thought the way that when they fired all of those people from Vanderpump Rules was atrocious over the old tweets and stuff.
Again, yeah.
And it was like, you know, those, like, Jackson, Stassi, and Kristen, et cetera, like, fucking built that show from the ground up, and they were all superstars in their own right. And for Bravo to just literally just fucking dump them all, and in the manner that they did, and to kind of just, like, cut them off. And then you do see how, if you do stay quiet and you don't, like, rock the boat, like, maybe you'll come back if you behave, like, maybe we will bring you back when we need you, you know, like, they didn't want anything to do with Jax or any of the, you know, they were, like, old news, they obviously weren't going to greenlight the Valley, and then when Scandoval happened, it's suddenly like, oh, Kristen, can you come to a scene? Jax, like, can you come back? Mm-hmm. And then you look at someone like Kelly Dodd, say what you want about her, but she's like, no, I don't give a fuck, and she fucking speaks her truth, and then of course she's not going to be asked back, you know.
Well, even so, I thought about when we were talking about Stassi, I was thinking, you know, whatever she makes from her Patreon and her podcast or whatever, I know that just from having, when we were on our two shows, I'm gonna get it in five more times, being having this, the thing is canceled out from under you. And with Vanderpump, it was kind of like the writing was on the wall, but with People's Couch, you know, we were just told out of nowhere, and then we were told to keep it quiet because they didn't want the backlash from the fans, and it was so traumatizing. We weren't even fired off of the show, the whole show, in a way. But just, I think Stassi probably was, especially having been pregnant or whatever, is probably just like, I will never put myself in a situation where somebody else can take away my income like that, because she had to rip that her podcast down too because of all the. At that time, it's back up now, but...
No, she lost everything. And she it was actually at a cusp for her with her career, where not only was she getting married and going to have a baby and stuff, her podcast was... She was going to go on a podcast tour, which at the time, not a lot of people would, especially in the reality space, weren't doing podcast tours. It sort of exploded post-pandemic. But she was going to go on tour, I think... They were looking at doing the Valley originally at that point with them. I think she had also been in talks for like some spin-off on E. Like, they were going to give her like her own show. I don't know if it was like doing fashion or like pop culture or whatever. She literally had like all these fucking deals. And even the same with Kristen Doty. She just released her book. She just bought a fucking house. Like, they had their whole life set up because things were going, you know, the show was going well. Like, they were adding new people, but they were obviously looking at longevity. And then they all lost it in an instant. And, you know, they were disgraced to the public. And, you know, it's taken them years to be able to, this has been three years to come back and to not work and to be considered unhirable. And I think that, you know, the anxiety and stuff that would come with that. I remember when Stassi did sort of like one of her first interviews on Tamron Hall. I think she was like pregnant, and she was like, I've been seeing a DEI advisor and learning about unconscious bias. And she was trying to like say all the things, and she's like shaking like a leaf. And then Tamron Hall's not even like giving her an inch. She's like, but you said that, you know, the Oscars so white is, you know, nonsense, and like, you know, bringing things up. And yeah, it was, and I remember Kristen Doty's first interview as well. She had to do the whole, you know, rolling over like a fucking dog that wants a treat and humiliate themselves. So yes, I definitely think that there's something to this reality reckoning. Anyway, guys, I had so many other fucking questions, but we've recorded so long. So you've been on two TV shows and very successful, performing everywhere, killer comedy sets, amazing podcast, amazing Patreon, been on Radio Honey, been acting, Curb, you know. It's all yeah. it's all happened. It's all happening.
And it definitely has all happened. We don't know what the future holds.
The future's bright. You know, we just I'm like you guys.
Bright.
I think both of us need to be like getting better at our socials with like reels of our pods and stuff. It's just a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. And I will say, Jacques, that you have not only just your podcast. I mean, you moving here and just you have inspired us and like been just you coming here and being like not jaded, bringing your real true bitterness, your Australian bitterness, but to the LA, you know, fake optimism of LA. It's like, it just reminds me of like, you know, back when Julie and I used to always try pitching shows. And then now, I mean, for years and years, we've written feature length scripts and pilots and pitched reality and everything in between. And just you coming with this fresh attitude of like, no, dreams can come true. And I'm like, huh, that's weird. So we've been dipping our toe back in. And it's really, truly all because of you. Just being you and your bitter positive attitude.
Well, I am waiting for it to sort of all fall out from under me. And I've been kind of thinking lately, I've been like, you know, everyone I've met so far has honestly been like really nice. Like we've become friends. Like everyone's been very cool and like helpful. And I'm waiting to, I don't know, meet someone that's like trying to use me or it's just a fucking asshole because it hasn't happened yet. And I had a meeting for my project I've been pitching last night, girl. Had a dinner for that. Went amazing.
That's great.
I know. But I'm also like, every day I'm kind of like waiting for that project to fall through because I'm like, there's no way that like the first thing that I tried to pitch is going to like get bought. So I'm like, like waiting for the wheels to come off that wagon. But yes, I am trying to be optimistic and
enjoy it. If anybody can sell something on their first try or get their first acting job in LA, it's somebody with an Australian or British accent. We love that here. It's like, why the fuck is that guy in every movie? And it's like, of course, they're Australian or the girl. It's like every girl that gets acting here is Australian or British. I mean, people, they just, you know, I don't know what it is. So I wouldn't be surprised. I think it seems like it's a great idea. And I think it seems like it's going to go for you. So.
Well, you know, with podcasts, every time I see someone with like a random ass podcast where they just do like the most boring ass recap of fucking whatever, and they'll be like, and then this happened. And then I see they're getting like 100,000 downloads. And I'm like, I'm fucking here like trying to be funny and like busting my ass and getting guests. And I have 10 listeners like you guys. So, yep. You know, it's just, you never fucking know. All right, guys, plug your stuff. Tell everyone where they can get more.
Well, we do a political podcast. It is free on all the platforms. It is, you know, liberal, left-leaning, and it is going to end up being very hostile and very political for this year because it's an election year. So we are rebranding and going to, you know, encompass more than just politics, but we just don't have the energy, Jacques. It's fucking.
You were trying to move away from the politics. Are you getting sucked back in?
Well, now that it's an election year, we're definitely going to get sucked back in. It's still the dumb gay. It's still dumb gay podcast.
Yes,
and we'll still talk about whatever. But we cannot shy away from the fact of the shit that's going down. I mean, we just
yeah.
So we're gonna do some of that, but it will be Libby. And
I mean, we did talk about what's her face and her, you know, cancer or whatever, the princess.
Oh yeah.
I guess, yeah. Kate Middleton.
I mean, you know, we threw that in there
right
this week.
Right.
But we have a Patreon where we don't do
anything
like political. It's $4 a month for just to listen on Wednesdays. It comes out every Wednesday. And like you said, it's the wrong side of the take. So we're, you know, getting more pointed and less random. Thursdays is random. So and then Fridays we do Blind Item Friday where you know, we go over blind items. Listeners send in blind items about, you know, people they've, you know, had one night stands with, and then we try to guess who it is and they do the reveal. And then they'll send in weird family stories too. Cause like people have such weird, cause you
like
can,
I found out my brother's my dad
yeah,
and like, it's weird. And our whole family was
Yeah.
Nazis, and yeah. Nobody ever told anyone. And it's like weird shit.
So that's pretty fun. So we have that for, you can get three podcasts, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for $8 a month. And then we also have a video tier. So where you can see them all in video, because there's video queens out there, honey, and we are not giving it away on YouTube.
Well, I'm trying to get onto that YouTube thing, but you know, judging by how I look on this today, it's going to take some work. Anyway, guys, thanks for listening. Go check out Dumb Gay Podcast on Patreon. It's amazing. I'm telling you, Wrong Side of the Takes. Love it. It's like really fucking funny. I have been converted to a Julie and Brandy stan. And you know what?
I do want to say, let me say this last thing. You texting me this meant a lot to me, because when we started the podcast, the Patreon, we were doing the politics and it was so gross and stressful. And we started the Patreon just to do something non-political. And we wanted it to be with something. I know we're going to be like, we're talking about Bravo. We're talking about pop culture. Julie refused to talk about Bravo anyway. Sometimes it creeps in, but we just wanted it to be a place where somebody could just like escape from whatever. And sometimes Bravo can be really triggering, or, you know, things, or talking about celebrities can be triggering just in general. Like, you know, you just want to hear random shit. So one time you... probably Dan said something rude to you, and you were in your head and you said you went on a walk and like, I'm going to put on Brandy and Julie because I know it's just going to be funny and it's not going to make me feel weird. And you said you were like walking to New York and it got you out of your head. And that's exactly what we want, people to just be like cleaning their house and not thinking like about how they need to lose 5 pounds or how annoying their kids are, or, you know, things like that. So you said that and it was like, well, that's why we do it.
Mm-hmm. That was, you did talk about Bravo on that one, about Gertie's GoFundMe cancer, which I'm obsessed with. But anyway, guys, I'll see you all next week. Bye.